It's finally Friday on Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush.
Gee, Ray, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
So I tell him I'm a blowjob. Now who do you think they give you?
The Dalai Lama himself.
So he finished 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going.
No, go past this part. In fact, never play this again.
I think you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
Past then.
When?
Just now. We're at now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just
now. When will then be now? Soon.
Stick a fork in me, Jerry. I'm done.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush. John Rush.
Actually, it's Andy Pate, party of choice.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, along with Susan Kochevar. And on the line right now, we have the last in our series. You're going to complete us. Jonathan, you are going to complete us, just so you know.
Okay.
We have the last in our series of candidates for Colorado GOP State Chair, Jonathan Lockwood. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you both for having me on this evening.
You bet. Welcome. Hey, before we get into, you know, issues and what to do with the party, what it needs, what it doesn't need, tell us a little about yourself. Give us some background. Let people know Jonathan Lockwood.
Yeah. Hi, everyone listening. I am Jonathan Lockwood. You can visit my website, lockwoodforcolorado.com, to learn more about my professional experience and background and take a look at some of the things that I've done and some of the things that I have planned for the party. But I'm a Denver native. I come from a family that has both Republicans and Democrats. I was raised to be independent-minded, and, you know, I came from on the Italian side of my family. There were a lot of Republicans since they first came over here as immigrants. So, you know, I have a rich history of being raised in conservative values. You know, when I was a youngster, I went to Lutheran school for a while, and, you know, I was raised to care about fellow people and look out for them and do what I can to help. And so that's part of the reason why I'm running.
All right. Sounds good. Jonathan, let's get to the controversial stuff right out of the way. Okay. You opposed Trump. Did you vote for Joe Biden?
Yes, I supported Joe Biden in the 2020 election after the year of one slap after another with failed leadership and really ultimately giving the Democrats everything that they could possibly want. And I believe that we needed a change in leadership, and, you know, just like Colorado and so did both, not only just in 2020, but in 2016, against Trump and the machine behind him. I was an early on supporter of Donald Trump. And I think that, you know, he won in 2016 because he stood up for people who are truly suffering. And I think that there is still massive amounts of suffering, especially with the pandemic, the lockdowns, continued social and civil unrest. And I think that moving forward, we need to really regain as a party people who, like myself, were like, I'm out for a little bit. And we have a chance to do that. And that's, again, why I'm running.
Okay, but I don't think people, it's so much that you voted, that you didn't support Donald Trump down the stretch. And, you know, people, you know, most of people who look at Trump, they either like what he did, didn't like what he did. They liked a lot of the economic stuff. Maybe they didn't like the tweets and so forth. But the big thing that's going to concern a lot of people, and you know this, and I'll let you address it, is that you supported Biden. You said that Trump allowed, you know, the Democrats basically to have whatever they wanted. Well, obviously, Biden is doing that to an extreme degree. Biden, you know, let's face it, this is the most left-wing, far left-wing ticket in American history to run for president, was Biden and his supporters. How do you support that and everything that's come as a result of it? and then run for the Colorado GOP chair? I'm sure that's what people would ask.
Well, the most recent example is that Joe Biden is actually more conservative on the minimum wage issue than Josh Hawley, who whipped up insurrectionists and seditionists in an angry, violent mob in front of our nation's capital that broke in and more lives were lost than in Benghazi. And so when you look at this issue, our political system is so scrambled up right now that, yes, I actually think that Biden is to the right of Hawley on issues that are going to affect businesses that are trying to rebuild post-COVID. And so, you know, with that, it's, you know, going to be where it's going to be for some people. But we have to, in Colorado, and again, while I'm running for Colorado GOP chair, is we need to be more about Colorado. You know, we need to be less fixated on one man and focused on fixing issues facing Coloradans who are really suffering right now.
I agree. We shouldn't be all fixated on one man, be it Trump or Biden or any of that. It's got to be about Colorado and the GOP and how we go forward. Susan has a question.
Yeah, so talking about going forward and some of your plans for the party, last night you were on a debate and you said something that I thought was very interesting. You talked about fighting harder. Republicans need to fight harder, and including things like using trackers and things. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes, I love this question. I believe that the Colorado Republican Party needs to vertically integrate, meaning that it needs to bring in all of the operations that the organization really needs under one roof. Instead of hiring a million consultancies that cost $1 billion and waste millions and millions of dollars for a little outcome, we need to have a team of regional grassroots directors that become, you know, really leaders in their local areas and work with the county party to get them what they need and all of those things. But we need
Jonathan, before you go on, this interests me. I just want to ask. So regional directors, now would they work directly under you? Would they be like kind of the intermediaries between you and the county leadership? Would like each one of them work with several counties? How would you break that down?
Yeah, I think that's one model of doing so. I think geographically it just depends on distance between different locations and whatnot. You wouldn't want necessarily eight and eight, but you know, there needs to be more structure to the party and making sure that people actually get what they need. But also, it's not the county party's responsibility to give state party direction and tell them what they want and what they need. The state party is also there to say, oh, here's the plan and here's what we want to give you to go and execute. So it's not a top-down or bottom-up or some sort of weird version of either of those. It needs to be both, and it needs to be a functional organization. So when you look at trackers, for example, we need 8 to 12 trackers at minimum.
Okay, describe that for everybody listening.
Yeah, so for people who maybe have not heard that term, basically it's almost like a on-the-ground journalist for the party to go and take video recordings of every Democrat running for every seat everywhere. You know, the more that we have video cameras on Democrats' eyes, and, you know, Democrats in the past have broken the law and held meetings and blocked these trackers out, which they're not allowed to do, which creates controversy. And, you know, my point with that is that we need to generate content that's going to change the conversation. And my view of state party is not to continue to work within the lines and, you know, think within the box that we have as a state party. Like, you know, some of my opponents and even some people I really like and want to see run for higher office already are admitting defeat, that we can't do that much, that we can't really do this, and we have limited means and limited ways. We need to think big. We have big opportunities ahead of us, and I view the problem is that we need to rise above the reactivity of our nation's politics and be proactive in organizing and changing the conversation that drives our elections and our government. So, you know, my view is to do what I've done in a lot of these different roles in the past. You know, I don't just talk about my titles. I talk about the results of them. We need to be able to have a party chair who can geoengineer the political environment and change the political climate so that it works for us and puts the Democrats on defense. Because when I run communications and strategies, the Democrats are the ones running away from reporters, not us.
Okay, hey, you know, really quick. No, I'm enjoying this, but before you run on, give me, say, 3 to 5 issues that you would want the Democrats, you know, like from Polis on down here in Colorado, put on defense?
Well, primarily, I sent out a press release about this, that reopening our schools is a social justice issue. You know, the Democrats to go around and call everyone on center-right, you know, politics a racist, and they kind of throw this term around. Sometimes it's justified. I would say it's not always. You know, they're failing Black and Latino and female students disproportionately, but they're failing students overall. Students are losing a ton of potential earning ability through this whole lockdown to schools and whatnot. And so reopening schools is, I think, the primary issue that the state party should be focusing on, not and these opponents continuing to focus on, like, fake elections, as they say, or dance around using, you know, legal mumbo-jumbo. We need to get kids back in the classroom full-time, and 40% of teachers are going to quit, they say. So teachers and students are being failed by the Democrat supermajority, and none of my opponents, and even the state party, has really done anything about it, using the levers they have right now. So that's number one issue, and I think
good issue.
Ultimately, if we did that, you know, there's these local schools. And I also think that, you know, the big thing that I said to somebody on Twitter that they said, well, what would you say is the biggest thing? We need to go local. First of all, we need local control. We have local control in some ways, and we need to use it, and we need to get more of it. The more control that we have at the local level, whether it's the school board or city council, and honestly, mayorships, mayors are going to be the most important elected position in probably 10 years. Most of the people are moving into cities. You know, cities are going to continue to grow. And we saw with COVID how integral mayor's job is when it comes to these things and businesses and communities. And
hey,
you know,
Jonathan,
I don't want to live in a...
No. Yeah. We got to go to a break here really quick. Can I hold you over the break?
Sure.
When we come back, Jonathan, I'd like you to talk a little bit more about the impact that the mayors are having, because you're right. Mayorships have become little fiefdoms when it comes to COVID. And you've got in one town this suffocating control, and in another town, things are more relaxed. And when we come back, could you talk a little bit about how you would like to influence that and maybe get people to run for those positions?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Folks, we are talking to Jonathan Lockwood, who is running for the Colorado GOP state chair position, and he'll be right back after these messages. First of all, Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You know, when you talk about mortgages, it's easy to feel lost, isn't it? I mean, you feel in over your head.
Oh, totally.
Exactly. But Bruce Simmons explains reverse mortgages so well, you'll be teaching your friends about it. Give Bruce a call at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home, providing a source of guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in the house. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
All right, Flesh and Beck, no matter how good your case is, you need preparation and presentation. Because when you're in front of that judge, you want your guy or gal to be better than theirs. Don't take chances. Call Kevin Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H. He's my lawyer. He can be yours too. So call Flesh and Beck at 303-806-8886 or go to fleshlawfirm.com.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, offers a free consultation because he doesn't want the cost to stop you from talking to a lawyer. Suppose you had to pay a few $100s for your initial consultation with Kevin Flesh. Instead of having a productive conversation, you'd be worrying about the money the whole time. Then, suppose you don't retain him. You realize you don't need his services after all, so you wasted your money. It's too much pressure. Kevin wants you to feel comfortable talking to a lawyer without the distraction of a fee. Call Flesh and Beck Law now at 303-806-8886 and schedule a free consultation with Kevin. He'll be able to tell almost immediately whether or not you even have a case. Kevin always tells people honestly when they shouldn't hire him, so you'll leave the conversation better informed without wasting your money. Talk to KLZ's personal injury attorney for free at 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We are speaking with Jonathan Lockwood, who is candidate for the Colorado GOP state chair. And Jonathan, we have several topics that we have coming at you, so let's go rapid fire on these. All right, first of all, really quick, how are you going to get some people to run for mayor, and what impact do you think they could make?
Right, I think the first thing is the major rebranding, and we need to ensure candidates that they're not going to be tarnished for running as a Republican. And with the Newsweek article, for an example, that came out as a result of last night's debate, that's not going to help. With my leadership, we'll be able to recruit people that are perfect for their area, that represent their communities well, and will help advance freedom.
Basically, you're going to target markets and match candidates to those markets.
Yeah.
Good idea. Okay. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay. So now my question is, how are you going to reach out to the independents?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I think independents want to see is really solutions to the problems they're facing, like reopening schools we mentioned. And I think that independents are so repulsed by both parties, they don't want to be a part of either, right? That doesn't necessarily mean that they're moderate. They want to hear a strong agenda that is going to help them with their daily lives, help improve their well-being, and improve their lives and livelihoods, and rebuild their communities. I mean, rebuilding Colorado is the most paramount issue every single person should be talking about. And I think with where independents are right now, I think if we started talking with that in mind, that would create a tremendous amount of opportunity for Republicans.
Hey, really quick here before I get to my next question, on what you just said, Colorado is lagging way behind right now in job creation thanks to Polis's, the way he's handled COVID. The way Polis has handled COVID, do you think we can capitalize on that as Republicans?
Absolutely. We are 50th in the nation for rebounding in jobs due to COVID and pandemic lockdowns, and that is unacceptable. And frankly, you know, we need to have a credible GOP chair who can go toe-to-toe with Jared Polis. From the debate last night, not a single one of those candidates are going to have the ability to go out into the media and into the political arena the way I can. You know, and frankly, you know, I don't look like some right-wing person that can be discredited and is ranting and raving about elections being stolen, but then when asked for proof, says, well, I haven't personally seen it, like Scott Gessler did last night. And so we need to be able to go up to Polis and say, listen, you are not getting our state back on the ground the way that we really need. And, you know, with that, looking at mayors and all the way down ticket from, you know, all the way at the top of the ballot, we need people that are going to go in and fix things at these local levels. And we need to get people onto boards and commissions. It's not just about the sexy governor's race and the sexy Senate race. It's about really getting people in leadership positions all across the state, all the way up and down, and improving our state and our community. If we start actually creating better outcomes for Coloradans, our election outcomes will be better too.
Okay. Hey, really quick here. Looking at the GOP itself, though, you're dealing with a huge divide, and it's not just Trump, pro-Trump, anti-Trump. This stuff predates him. We're talking really establishment and the Liberty Group, right? We're talking grassroots and establishment. How are you going to unite these sides going forward so that one side doesn't always lose interest and basically drop out of the action when their candidate doesn't make it through a primary?
I think if you look at my background and the roles that I've held, for example, with Generation Opportunity, holding accountable Mark Udall, with Advancing Colorado, tackling Colorado Care, and really being the leader in the coalition of opposition to the proposal, you can see that I give people things to rally around. You know, it's not about compromising these people's views. It's about really giving people something to get around, and we can all work together and defeat. And, you know, reopening schools is an example of that. I think that, you know, it's kind of funny watching a lot of people say in the establishment, especially when they've been really considered more establishment. I'm not some, you know, establishment person. I'm more anti-establishment. You know, I'm very aggressive in the way I pursue political, you know, communications and strategies and what have you. But I really think that all the chit-chat about uniting coming from people that have already had the opportunity to do uniting actions are not going to do the job. And I don't think that anyone invalidating anyone else's views is going to get us anywhere, whether that's Republicans internally or Republicans to other people outside the party. We really have to start creating a movement, and that starts with finding unifying issues to get behind and solve.
Well, I would think one unifying issue for our side is simply liberty. And our, you know, let people live as you want. You be you, I'll be me, and let people live as they're going to be. Really quick here, we've got less than 3 minutes to go. I want to get three or four questions in, so we're going to fire away. Okay. Susan, go ahead.
So one of the big topics last night was voter integrity in our elections. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think the people that brag about being in charge of voter integrity, if they think there's a big problem, haven't been very effective. I also think that we need to talk about technology, and we need to really talk about, you know, there's ideas about blockchain voting and just kind of running around in the same circle denying the election is not going to ever bring about actual voter integrity.
Okay, it's going to be expensive to run a party and to help the candidates. What about fundraising?
We need to create a battalion and army of fundraisers. It's not on any one person. We need people trained. We need people to actually have things to fundraise for. I fundraise for projects and products. I say, you know, we need to do a $25,000 ad campaign. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's why it costs this much. Here's the voters it's targeting. Here's the intended outcome. Here's how we'll measure success. And I have a good track record with those things, so then they get the money for it, and then we'll keep going. But we need people to put some skin in the game, and they're not going to put skin in the game unless they see a party operating and functioning the way they want to see success. And we need to tap new donors. You know, going back to the same donors everyone goes to isn't obviously working. And we need to expand the party. We do that. We bring in more funds, and we can really, I think, do big things.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you always have the same donors, then those donors really control the party. And, you know, then you're not going to change and adapt to the changing demographics of our state. Go ahead, Susan.
It's true. Yeah, before we get too far into this, I just want to make sure, how can people get a hold of you? So let's cover that.
Yes, so you can email me, feel free, at Jonathan Locke. It's Jonathan Lockwood at protonmail.ch. You can go to my website, lockwoodforcolorado.com. I'm very easy to get a hold of on Facebook and Twitter, and I'm happy to talk to anyone. I've had some interesting phone calls, some nicer than others, but I really do, I'm here to listen as much as I am here to share my own vision and whatnot, and so I welcome that. On the fundraising note, though, we need to do things like rage giving, right? So let's say there's House Bill 3010. It's like chip in $30.10 to help us fight the Democrat supermajority and hold them accountable. I mean, there's a lot of easy ways to bring in small donors. Bernie Sanders did this well. Republicans, not as much. Let's start doing it.
Okay. And hey, I got about 30 seconds left for you. You mentioned vision. Give us your vision. What do you see the party? Let's say you become the chair. Look back from a couple years from now. Look back over 2 years. What does the party look like in Colorado? What is your vision for the party?
My vision for the Republican Party is to create a Colorado-focused Republican Party that solves big problems facing Coloradans, like reopening our schools, and is viewed as a party that cares about Coloradans. I want to create a machine that is lean, effective, and really transforms not only our state's political system and the way that we do politics on the right, but for the entire country, and serves as a model for how to do this effectively and to really build a successful organization.
Fantastic. Jonathan Lockwood, running for Colorado GOP state chair. Great job, Jonathan. You're welcome back. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care. Okay, folks, Just making sure. Okay, good. We've got something coming up after the break. But first, Purefoy Chevrolet, my wife and I, we got our share car at Purefoy. We bought two cars, one at Purefoy and one somewhere else. And the one that was elsewhere was always in the shop. Do you have one? You ever have that happen?
Yes.
You got one car you can rely on and the other one doesn't. We had that. Well, that left us sharing the car we had that we got at Purefoy. It was our share car. Well, to get a reliable car you can share, call Purefoy Chevrolet at 303-659-8311 or go to purefoychevrolet.com.
Hi, this is Marie with KLZ, and I just want to say on a personal note how impressed I am with Purefoy Chevrolet. Something we pride ourselves on at KLZ is we never advertise somebody without meeting them face-to-face and really feeling confident that they will take good care of our listeners. And I've never been in an auto dealer like Purefoy Chevrolet, and the reason is Rolly Purefoy. I know he would never say this about himself because he's a very humble man, but he holds himself personally to such an incredibly high standard that his example permeates the entire business. He was walking us through the building and there were these really nice clean ceiling tiles above my head, and he made some comment about how he had installed them himself. The same with his stunning showroom has a new floor that he personally installed. And I think when you have a leader who cares about those details, it affects the entire atmosphere of the business.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, you know your business, but retirement, that's a whole new world. Social Security, taxes, making your money last, that's Al Smith's business. So give him a call at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
Al Smith protects your nest egg from the high cost of long-term health care. Once you retire, you have one concern, making your money last. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, KLZ's retirement planning specialist, Al Smith, has worked in financial services for over three decades, specializing in retirement planning for the past 16 years. After all those years helping people manage their money, Al has spent a lot of time listening to his clients' concerns about retirement. Al has personally seen friends and relatives burn through their nest eggs in a matter of months, spending thousands of dollars a month on hourly health care, either at home or in assisted living. As part of your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial, Al will help you find alternative financial products with significant benefits in retirement, ensuring your nest egg can withstand the high cost of long-term health care. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Okay, Geno's Auto. Right now at Geno's Auto Service, one of the best, most trusted auto shops in Littleton, they're offering new customers $25 off any work that's $250 or more. Just call Geno's at 303-794-6700, or you can find them at genosautoservice.com.
For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Geno's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide peace of mind warranty. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment. And be sure to check out all of their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in or visit them online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLC 560. We are now joined by Dr. Anthony Harper from Intermountain Christian News, the White House correspondent. And this is a surprise visit. We were hoping you'd come back and give us an update. What's happening, sir?
Oh, very troubling. I just got an email from the White House Correspondents Association to say that the White House is saying that they can't afford to pay for the testing, for this COVID testing, for me to get in. Now they're wanting me to pay money to get tested, and they won't let me into White House press conferences unless I'm tested each day at $170 a pop.
So you got to pay at $170 a pop to get in there, but they can afford $1.9 trillion to throw thrown away.
Yeah, they can throw all this other money away, but they can't.
That's perfectly reasonable.
Jeez. Right. And so that
what a
was
joke.
A disturbing email, you know?
Thank you, sir.
I was at the White House today on this Jewish holiday Purim reporting, and very disturbing. And, of course, a lot of reporters don't like what I do about reporting about Biden in any questionable way. But, it's really, you know, disturbing to think about now. I've got to pay $170 each time I want to be tested. And so that is my dilemma. They're making it so much more difficult for me to get into the White House.
Well, really quick here, before you give us some of the inside scoop, were you able to meet with them today?
I was just there with the White House press, met with the press secretary scheduler, and lower press, the deputy press secretary. And, I had some friendly meetings with them, but it's a lot different atmosphere. And I'm just really upset about all this. You know, I'm traveling all the way from Idaho to get here, and now they're saying I got to pay $170 each day.
Well, Dr. Harper, really quick here, how can people reach you at Intermountain, you know, Christian News, if they want to help you with that? Maybe make sure that you are in the faces of some people who apparently want to make it too expensive for you to be in their faces.
Oh, I know. They're saying they're charging everyone like this, except for more of the elite people, the special pool they refer to, and I can't get in that because I'm not here all the time to be included, but a lot of restrictions. But people can contact me through the website, imcnews.org, Intermountain Christian News.
Fantastic. Hey, did you learn anything today or hear anything?
I did learn the press secretary, and it was gone today because this trip of President Biden to Texas. And, I did learn a lot about COVID-19 testing today, very disturbing. And I did, thankfully, did get to file some important news reports, interviewed from Israel with an Israel news service called Newsreel.
What'd you hear?
Interview from Jerusalem. They wanted me to talk about especially what's happening, on Purim, the Jewish holiday today, and why I'm there at the White House. Those are some unique experiences, being there the first time after the Trump administration. So difficult for me to say goodbye to President Trump's staff, and my first day back, and very upsetting.
Hey, really quick. Oh, go ahead, Susan.
I have a question. You were talking about the news there. I heard that there are protests in Israel over the forced vaccinations. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I'm talking with one of my Israel reporters, and that is the issue of for the Holocaust survivors.
Yes.
It's traumatizing for the Holocaust survivors or family members of Holocaust survivors. It kind of reminds them of the Hitler days of being forced. You think about the star. There was a star that they had to wear, and this just conjures up a lot of emotions, a lot of trauma, and it's bad. I'm really concerned about the people being forced, any people forced to take it.
Well, essentially,
especially in Israel.
Yeah, it's a forced medical procedure, and there was, Nuremberg trials were held over that. It was awful. I can understand.
Yes. So pray for the people in Israel. A lot of Jewish people are expecting me to be at the White House to be able to bring up these issues on a regular basis. I'm really concerned about this and thinking about, the Iran issue. The Ayatollah hasn't apologized. He's not giving up his hate for Israel. So Israel is in a really tight spot about what to do. And the Biden administration, and they're warming up to Iran again. So there's a lot for them to be concerned with. Also, the prime minister is going through another election again.
Hey, Dr. Harper, really quick before we let you go, assuming you can jump through the 27 hoops to do so, when's the next time you're going to be able to get in to see them?
I really don't know. It depends on this testing issue. I can't be paying all this expense. working for a nonprofit, to get in, get tested every day, to be there. I mean, that is totally ridiculous, you know, to have to pay that expensive amount every day. I want to be there, and I've got still a couple of weeks in the Arlington, Virginia, so I could be at the White House, but I am just waiting to know what I should do next.
Well, sir, I hope you can find a way to get in there, because we need your voice at the White House. We definitely need your voice, you know, representing faith and representing Israel at a place that, let's face it, is not too kind to either.
I know. Very troubling. Well, thanks for your prayers, for all those who are listening, and with God's help, I will be there on a more regular basis here soon.
Thank you so much, sir. That's Dr. Anthony Harper, and you can find him at Intermountain Christian News. He's doing a fantastic job. Let's take a timeout. We'll come right back on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.
As modern vehicles become safer and more technologically complex, collision repairs also become more specialized. You need an auto body shop that looks to the future, investing in the tools and training they need to fix your vehicle properly. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop have earned OE certifications for brand names like Subaru, Ford, and many others, ensuring you get the parts and service recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. After a collision, you want to get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition, which means you want the original parts from the manufacturer, not aftermarket parts. Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to earn new OE certifications all the time, so they can have access to all of the databases and software that come directly from the manufacturer. Your insurance company does not recommend auto body shops based on their certifications. Take control of the quality by choosing a certified auto body shop. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision.
Before you actually start carrying a firearm, you need to develop the mindset of safety. Whether you consider yourself an experienced shooter or if you've never shot a gun, head trainer Karen Murray recommends signing up for the basic concealed carry class at Franktown Firearms first, because everyone has bad habits to break. You need to start with the basics, but you also can't walk out of a CCW class with a gun strapped to your hip thinking you're Jack Bauer. Once you've registered for your concealed carry permit, come back to Franktown Firearms for Karen's tactical pistol course to put your skills into practice. Karen will teach you the 6 steps to proper holster draw, giving you the chance to practice situational awareness in a safe environment. Karen loves watching her students leave her tactical pistol course at Franktown Firearms wearing their guns in their holsters for the first time. Register for a class now at klzradio.com/Franktown. Confidence through practice.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair and Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme.
Protect your business while protecting your bottom line. Call 303-423-0162, and the team at GIA will review your small business insurance plans for free. That's 303-423-0162.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush in our final segment of the week. And I'm here with Susan Kochevar. And on the line, we now have, once again, Jersey Joe. Joe, I know you've been in Jersey now for a few months. Are you now a full-fledged communist? I mean, are you ready to overthrow a South American country?
Yeah, you know, I'm getting close. You know, I already sold some of my guns. You know, I'm starting to think guns are evil. And so, and I'm getting ready to go overthrow, I don't know whether it should be Chile or Argentina, but yeah, I'm starting to think of going down there pretty soon.
Don't you just hate liberty? I mean, doesn't it just seem wrong? I mean, shouldn't people be controlled and herded like cattle everywhere they go?
you know, the few remaining freedoms I have left here really chafe me, and I just can't wait for the governor to...
Okay, go ahead, sir.
The rest of my... By the way, I want to come back to this, but...
Yeah.
By the way, Susan, I also want to thank you for helping to carry Andy and come back, you know, two times in the same week. So,
oh, you're welcome, Joe.
The audience appreciates it. By the way, Susan, how much taller are you than Andy? Is Andy than you versus how much taller than is Andy than you?
He's got quite a few inches on me.
Well, are you aware that that constitutes height privilege?
Oh, I did see that with a big blue thing strapped to their feet, that thing on
strapped
Facebook.
To their feet, yeah. And that woman, she's a PhD professor at Berkeley, but she's also in a polyamorous relationship. So she splits her time between, and she's transgender, and she splits her time between Australia and Los Angeles, Berkeley. So, yes, height privilege. And then she goes on, if you read the rest of her rant, she says, we are also intending to push thin privilege in the future and force fit people to walk around campus wearing heavy-weighted bags so they know just how difficult it is for cellulite-diverse people.
Can we lose Crazy Town? I'm really getting...
You know, here's the thing that gets me, Joe. We live in a nation and in a world with true suffering. Okay, there's true suffering out there. There really are people who are drug addicted. There really are people who have been, you know, hurt in domestic crime and violence and so forth. There really are people starving. There really are people going through so many things in life. And these people are so privileged that they can care about stuff that doesn't matter.
They're scraping to find things to be outraged about.
Thank you.
Liberals love to be outraged. Susan, I go every morning. There's three or four liberal Facebook sites that they live to be, and God forbid you try and take their outrage away from them and say, no, that's not true. Here are the facts. They get upset. They love their outrage, and God help you if you try to deprive them of their outrage. They really enjoy being outraged. So every day it's got to be something new.
That takes so much energy.
It does.
You know, I just ask one last time, how would you like to be some kid in East Africa who has eaten once in the last 2 days, Joe, listening to these people worry about these topics?
Yes. Oh, my God. And, you know, you don't have clean water to drink, and you've eaten, you know, once in 48 hours, and what you've eaten probably wasn't very healthy.
Right.
Not even sanitary. You probably get dysentery. You probably have parasites. And these people are worried about height privilege and thin privilege. Oh, give me a break.
Unbelievable. What else you got for us, sir?
A little humor. Both in the previous stimulus bill and the current one being debated, do you know what other group of people qualify for the federal pandemic unemployment and assistance?
Who?
Sex workers.
Okay.
Now, think of it. Now, independent contractors like Uber and Lyft drivers were included. So if you were an independent contractor, you know, you drove for Uber like Charlie or not Charlie, Dan. And you say, hey, you know, I can't drive or I lost my job. The brothel work, you know, Nevada has legal brothels. Those women, and I'm no judgment intended here, just an interesting thing. I'm not being judgmental. They were eligible to receive because the governor shut down all the legal brothels in Nevada. And they say, hey, I'm out of work because the governor closed my place of work. They were independent contractors. And in many other states, topless dancers are also independent contractors. They are not employees of the Gentlemen's Club. They are independent contractors. In fact, they actually rent time on the stage. So topless dancers are getting pandemic unemployment assistance. And if you want to take it one step further, if you were a prostitute not working in the legal brothel, but you, in fact, declared your income and paid taxes, which some do, I'm told, and you can now claim... You can now claim that your income has dropped, or you're out of business because of the pandemic. Even if you're an illegal prostitute, you're still eligible to get pandemic unemployment assistance from the federal government.
Yeah, but you know what, Joe? They're not getting the massive haul that teachers are getting that you mentioned the other day. With how much was that? Did it amount to like 21 grand or something like that each?
Federal employees.
Federal employees. That's right, federal employees. Yeah.
15 weeks, 1,400 a week, $21,000.
You see, I think...
If you elect to stay home, if you elect to keep your child out of school, enroll them in virtual learning, you get $21,000.
A lot of sex workers work from home, okay? And brothels and so forth. I think they're being cheated here. I mean, if I were them, I would look at this and just say, this is government privilege, government worker GS privilege that's going on right now, and I deserve to get that kind of money. What do you think?
You make a very valid point. You know, what's good for the goose, good for the gander. And I tell you, well, I won't give you my opinion of a lot of government workers, particularly since I've had to deal with some here at the New Jersey Division of Motor Vehicles. But
let me just say this, and I'll let you run after that, not run away, but run on to the next topic. It just seems to me that the government workers in this bill are going to be doing this more to us than those sex workers.
Yeah.
You know, at least they're upfront about it.
I'm sorry. I just had to. Go ahead.
You had to. I just want to go back and revisit. You know, we gave a short shrift the other night about the problem we have where 2% of the population, which is young black men between 15 and 34, account for 37% of all the gun homicides in this country.
Right.
You know, what a tragedy is this? How do we fix it? And, oh, by the way, the media doesn't want to spin it as a cultural problem. Or they don't want to address it as a cultural problem. They want to spin it as a gun problem. This is why we need to have more gun controls. It has nothing to do with the availability of the guns. By the way, between 250,000 and 500,000 guns are stolen in this country every year. And, Susan, here's a statistic for you. There's a home break-in once every 18 seconds, roughly three times a minute. And one out of three of those homes will have one or more guns in them. That's where you get, you know, between 250,000 and 500,000 guns. And those guns are quickly resold on the street for drug money. So you cannot cut off the supply gun. All the background check laws you want to have, magazine limits. If a criminal wants a gun, teenager wants a gun. I think CBS did a docuseries called The Guns of Chicago. And they're interviewing these 16, 17, 18-year-old kids with bandanas over their face. And female reporter says, how tough is it to get a gun? And one of the 17-year-olds with the bandana over his face goes, $30 in 30 minutes. Do you want one? That's what he says to her. So, you know, you talk about, you know, it's a myth that more gun controls are going to reduce violence. It has nothing to do with guns. It has to do with society and culture.
Well, and areas, you know, get a lot of federal dollars, you know, a lot of welfare, and that doesn't pay very well. So, you know, crime makes up the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The crime makes up the rest either.
Pushed into it.
Two sorts of crime. Either, you know, crimes against other citizens or the crime of selling drugs.
Right.
Joe, why would we even consider inhibiting the ability of someone to defend themselves? Okay, because when people say, well, how good of guns do you, you know, what kind of guns do you want people to have? And I always say, I want law-abiding citizens to be as well-armed as the lawbreakers who would do them harm.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going nuts here?
No, nothing could be more logical. And, you know, you want to limit me to a five-shot revolver when the guy guy breaking into my house is armed with a 17-shot semi-automatic? No. Give me a break.
Horrible. Horrible. Okay, we got about a minute and a half left. What else you got?
That's all. What do you got?
What do I got? I'm just a confused old man, Joe. What I got is that we are looking at CPAC going on right now, and I think that we are seeing the finalization of the Trump takeover of the Republican Party. And I don't mean that he will be a candidate. I mean that he will be a kingmaker. And I think we are seeing, and not in a bad way, not in a way you got to be loyal to Trump, but I think Trump is demanding that people become loyal to the platform that they said they liked all along. I think that that's what we're going to see going forward. Go ahead.
Did you see the golden statue of Trump they wheeled in?
No.
A bit over the top.
It wasn't a full, it was like from the waist up on a dolly. And it was painted gold. And the liberals are showing this, and they'll send you a link, and they're saying, how can these Christians and these Republicans worshiping a golden idol, you're spinning it about, you know, in the Bible, worshiping the golden idol.
I got to be honest, that sounds to me like a very silly thing to do. I wouldn't do that. That's like with Obama making him Greek pillars and garbage like that. We don't need to do that.
No, we don't. And I think it was a dumb move. And then you'll love it. I'll send you the link and maybe pass it on to Susan. But yeah, at CPAC, they had a golden bust of Trump, life-size golden bust of Trump from the waist up.
Yep. Yeah, I did see that.
There's an idea that somebody in a committee somewhere needs to say, no.
Right.
I'm just saying.
You don't need to give them any more ammunition than they already have. So we don't need people worshiping a golden idol of Trump. So
unbelievable. Well, thank you, sir. Way to end the week on a weird note. and thank you so much, Joe. We'll talk to you next week. All right.
All right. Take care, guys.
Fantastic. Bye-bye. Okay, that'll do it for today. If you missed the first hour, it's up next. Tomorrow, Dan Muir, my good friend, hosts Fix It Radio at 9 and then Drive Radio at 10. And yay, John Rush returns to Rush to Reason on Monday. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Susan Koshevar, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been my pleasure.
Fantastic. Well, okay, guys. Once again, Dan Muir tomorrow morning. Until then, drive safe, God bless, and thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.